On this particular day, word spread across Oahu via the coconut wireless. Surf was definitely up, way up, at Castles. It was nature at its most fearsome. Sets of bluebirds, gigantic waves, were rolling in, stretching across the bay of Waikiki toward Honolulu Harbor, impelled by the stiff trade winds from the Koolau Range. The waves were the largest I'd ever seen, Kahanamoku said, easily 30-plus waves. He timed the sets, watching them build and build with amazement. Paddling out in these conditions might not be possible. Riding his gigantic, skegless board meant risking serious injury. If he wiped out, he would be submerged beneath an avalanche of water and tossed like a human cocktail. His sodden board would become a dangerous projectile capable of knocking him out, or worse. The coral reef, hidden beneath the surface, was waiting to shred his body. Duke took a deep breath. The competitor in him took over. "I had to go," he said. He plunged in and paddled out into the percolating sea. His board was pummeled, but his muscular arms carried him through. When he encountered a wall of water, he turned turtle by rolling underneath the combers while hugging the board and holding his breath. The power of these waves, their sheer energy, was unlike anything he had experienced. He was drenched and winded by the time he reached the takeoff spot, which was so far out in the ocean, nearly to the shipping lane, that he recognized the captain on the bridge of a passing steamer. He straddled the board and tried to regain his breath. Elongated humps of water lifted and dropped him like a yo-yo. He bobbed in the depths and waited, a tiny blotch in the emerald green and white froth. Then he spied it. The tallest, bulkiest, fastest wave of them all. A very personal and special wave, the kind I had seen in my mind's eye during a night of tangled dreaming. It was now or never. Kahanamoku pivoted his board around and went for it. Lying prone, he stroked hard in the water with his huge hands. Then, timing himself instinctively, he pounced up and found his balance, his left foot placed forward and solidly planted, knees slightly bent. The board slapped, shimmied, and rattled as he slid along the face of the wave. A high-pitched crashing sound echoed like a freight train. Duke felt like he was riding a watery roller coaster without brakes. His speed approached 30 miles an hour. He shifted his weight, directing the board to the left, his only possible route. He railroaded through the surf, connecting to the next break, and kept going, allowing the momentum to carry him. He stood tall, embedded in the moment, alive to its potential, with his feet, legs, torso, shoulders, and the board working as one, streaking across toward the next break, harnessing the awesome energy of the waves. His eyes were tearing up, but his vision was clear. He was at one with the water. One last forward rush, and he was in the familiar waters of Queens. The board slowed. The waves became ripples. He got off the board in waist-deep water by the familiar grounds of the Moana Hotel. His thighs burned. His calves ached. His breath came in heaves and hiccups. Young boys and experienced surfers, haole and Hawaiians, surged forward to pat him on the back as he lugged his board up the beach. "Hey, Paoa, what a ride!" Kahanamoku sat down and stared out at the not-so-Pacific, tracing the route he had just taken. He felt a shivering tingle pass through his body, almost as if he was still riding on the board. His heartbeat galloped. He said nothing, but Waikiki was soon abuzz. People who had not been there wondered how he had managed to stay upright for so long. Estimates of the distance that he had covered grew. First it was a mile, and then it was a mile and a half. Others insinuated that the long ride was a tall tale and that, given the limitations of surfboard technology, it was not possible for Kahanamoku to have succeeded.